test your personality. Now, any discussion of analyzing personality and identity would be incomplete without delving into the Big Five personality traits, as well as the Myers-Briggs type indicator and associated Kiersey temperaments. These are direct ways of understanding who someone is to the extent that such tests can be accurate. Very rarely will you possess this amount of knowledge about someone you want to read or analyze, but again, it's worth understanding a few different scales upon which to evaluate others. You might be able to identify some of these traits in others and then understand their motivations and values as a result. Chances are, at some point in your life, you've taken a personality, career aptitude, or relationship test to learn more about yourself. In the context of analyzing people, this isn't quite going to get us where we want. Using these personality tests almost defeats the purpose of analyzing someone based on observations and behaviors, but they do provide plenty of food for thought in exactly what traits to look for and what differentiates people. Hopefully, you've stumbled across one that sought to evaluate you based on the Big Five personality traits. As previously mentioned, this is a theory that breaks down the human psyche into five broad characteristics. These five simple factors could determine the very complex question you've been chasing. What makes you, you? And what makes other people, them? The Big Five. It's a theory that dates back to 1949 in research published by D.W. Fisk. Since then, it's been gaining popularity and has been written about by the likes of Norman, 1967, Smith, 1967, Goldberg, 1981, and McCray and Costa, 1987. Instead of evaluating you as a whole based on your experiences and motivations, this theory reduces you down to five traits: openness to experience, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. You may have heard of these before. Terms like introvert and extrovert are thrown around a lot these days, but what do they really mean? They're two ends of the spectrum. Each trait has two extremes, and although we may not want to admit it, every one of us embodies all of these five traits to some degree. According to this theory, it's how much of each and where we land in the range between the extremes that determine our unique personality. Openness to experience. The first of the Big Five personality traits determines how willing you are to take risks or try something new. Would you ever jump out of a plane? How about pack up and move halfway around the world to immerse yourself in a new culture? If your answer to both of those questions was a resounding yes, then you probably score high in your openness to experience. You seek out the unknown. At one extreme, people who are high in openness are curious and imaginative. They go in search of new adventures and experiences. They can get bored easily and turn to their creativity to uncover new interests and even daring activities. These people are flexible and seek out variety in their daily life. For them, routine is not an option. At the other end of the spectrum, people who are low on the openness scale prefer continuity and stability to change. They are practical, sensible, and more conventional than their peers. Change is not their friend. In the real world, most people fall somewhere between these two opposites, but where you find yourself on the spectrum could reveal a lot about who you are and what you excel at. Do you dream of being a CEO or at the head of your field, for instance? Openness has been linked to leadership. If you're able to entertain new ideas, think outside the box, and adapt quickly to new situations, you're more likely to become and succeed as a leader. Lebowitz, 2016. It was Apple co-founder Steve Jobs' decision to audit a calligraphy class in 1973 that would lead to the groundbreaking typography in Mac computers years later. At the time, no one associated computers with beautiful fonts, but Jobs saw something that no one else could. He embraced the calligraphy class, sought to change the way people thought about computers, and opened himself up to a new vision of the future. Conscientiousness. This is the personality trait that makes you careful and cautious. You're vigilant in your actions and often think twice or three times before making a decision, especially if it wasn't in your original plans. People who have high levels of conscientiousness tend to be extremely focused on their goals. They plan things out, focusing on the detailed tasks at hand, and they stick to their schedules. They have better control over their impulses, emotions, and behaviors, such that they're able to focus more of their energy on their professional success. While they may not live as adventurously as their peers, they do tend to live longer, thanks in part to their healthier habits. At the other end of the spectrum, people who are not so conscientious tend to be more impulsive and disorganized. They become demotivated by too much structure, can procrastinate on important work, and have a weaker ability to control their behavior. This can lead to more self-destructive habits, such as smoking and substance abuse, and an overall inability to get things done. Impulse control is no easy feat for them. So, how conscientious are you? Do you like schedules at work but still find yourself avoiding exercise when you get home? You may embrace some aspects of conscientiousness, like schedules and to-do lists, and not others, like exercising or performing other healthy habits. Most people land somewhere in the middle of the conscientiousness spectrum, but if you can find ways to embrace planning and order a little bit more, you could be setting yourself up for success. Conscientiousness has been linked to better success after training. Woods, Patterson, Coxwara, and Sofat, 2016. More effective job performance, Barrick and Mount, 1991. Higher job satisfaction and careers with greater prestige and higher incomes, Judge, Higgins, Thorison, and Barrick, 1999. A study by Solds and Valent, 1999, also found that high levels of conscientiousness have helped people better adjust to the challenges of life that will inevitably sneak up on you. Conscientiousness is the preventative medicine we could all use to stop problems before they start. Extroversion. This is the trait that defines how outgoing or social you are. Extroverts are easy to spot. They're the life of the party. They've got lots of energy, and they know how to talk. Extroverts draw their energy from being around other people and thrive on being the center of attention. For that reason, they maintain a wide circle of friends and take every opportunity to meet new people. At the other extreme are people who often find extroverts exhausting to be around, introverts. Why spend time trying to make conversation with large groups of people when you can be at home with your own thoughts? Introverts aren't shy. They simply prefer solitude to socializing or calm to chaos. Do you wish office parties would never end? Or do you feel drained after about an hour? Do you enjoy meeting new people? Or would you prefer to be cuddled up at home with a good book? Are you a morning person? Or do you truly wake up when the sun goes down? If you're often the last one to leave a social gathering, you enjoy being around people and you thrive on the late night hours, you likely rank high on the extroversion scale. If, on the other hand, you dread the thought of going to parties, would rather stay at home, and prefer to wake up bright and early to start your day, you're probably more of an introvert. Depending on the day, you may be inclined to go either way. However, by and large, people typically place somewhere along the spectrum between the two. Agreeableness. This is the trait that identifies how kind and sympathetic you are and how warm and cooperative you are with others. Do you tend to take a big interest in other people and their problems? When you see others going through difficulties, does it affect you too? If you're empathetic and caring toward others and driven by the desire to help, you may be quite an agreeable person. You feel their pain and are driven to do something about it. At the other end of the spectrum, people who are less agreeable may find they take less of an interest in other people's lives. Instead of trying to work together to solve a problem, they may be more content to go it alone. They're not agreeable because they are determined to do exactly what they want to do. Because of their nature, they may often be perceived as offensive or unpleasant to be around. We all have different thresholds for how much we're willing to do for others and how much we're willing to work together. That limit is where you rank on the agreeableness spectrum. Why people are so agreeable is still up for debate. For some, it's the genuine concern for the well-being of others. For others, it's the result of social pressure and accepted norms. Fear of consequences can be a motivating factor. Some agreeable people may be acting that way because they are petrified of social confrontation. Whatever the case, research has shown that agreeable people are rarely cruel, ruthless, or selfish. Rokas, Sagiev, Schwartz, and Nafo, 2002. If you're looking for ways to be a little bit happier, figuring out where you lie on the agreeable index may be a good way to start. Neuroticism. We all have those days when nothing is how it seems. You think your coworkers are out to get you. You're so anxious you can't sleep. You feel like you're caught in a Woody Allen film. But if you find yourself having lots of those days, to the point where you feel more down than you do up, you may have high levels of the last of the big five traits, neuroticism. This is the personality trait that essentially measures how emotionally stable you are. It identifies your ability to remain steady and balanced versus anxious, insecure, or constantly distracted. Neurotics tend to approach life with a high dose of anxiety. They worry more than most, and their moods can shift quickly and with little prompting. This kind of behavior can make them prone to being stressed or even depressed. Those on the less neurotic side of the spectrum tend to be more emotionally stable. When stress comes their way, they have an easier time dealing with it. Bouts of sadness are few and far between, and they see fewer reasons to stress about whatever may come their way. Do you find yourself using humor to cope with a challenge? Or do problems tend to stress you out? Are you pretty level-headed all day long? Or do you switch from hot to cold in a heartbeat? If you take things in stride, and usually only have one mood per day, you're probably less neurotic than others. But if you have many moods in the space of a short amount of time and are anxious more often than not, you're probably on the more neurotic side. However, being neurotic doesn't have to be all doom and gloom. After all, worrying about our health is what keeps us taking vitamins and visiting the doctor's office for checkups. In that case, the anxiety of neurotics may actually keep them one step ahead in many ways. In the end, we have five scales that have been proven to at least be major elements of personality for you to evaluate people on. Some chapters in this book will give you a type of checklist of elements to look for in analyzing them quickly. Here, we can make observations, look at where people might fall on the big five traits, and then extrapolate outward from there. Another scale is the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI, as well as the subsequent Kiersey temperaments. This has been Think Like a Psychologist: How to Analyze Emotions, Read Body Language and Behavior, Understand Motivations, and Decipher Intentions. Written by Patrick King, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2019 by Patrick King. Production copyright by Patrick King.